Treasury Star Parade. Produced under the personal direction of William A. Bacher, with David Brookman in his orchestra, Miss Dinah Shore and Miss Ilka Chase as our mistress of ceremony.
This is Ilka Chase, ladies and gentlemen, in another of the programs brought to you from Hollywood by the Treasury Department. This is my first visit to Hollywood in 3 years, and as it is always done, the press keeps asking what I think of the place. Well, I don't mean it asks only me. It asks everyone who comes out here. What do you think of Hollywood? Only in my case, they say, what do you think of Hollywood now? The reason for the now, half triumphant, half defiant, is, I think, because since I was last here, I've written a book, Past Imperfect, and in that book, I touch briefly on Hollywood in some of its more entertaining aspects. Hollywood, alas, was not entertained. That is to say, the professional boosters were not. I like to think that my real friends were amused, and I think perhaps I'm right, because they've been charming to me since I've been here, and we've had some lovely parties. Hollywood parties can be the best fun in the world, full of spontaneity and awash with the famous, which makes everybody happy. The less celebrated are delighted to be in such lofty company, and the celebrated are delighted to be there too, bolsters their ego, which, though flamboyant, is sometimes insecure. You know, lots of people think of Hollywood as a very gay town, but the truth is it's pretty quiet during the week, because when you work in pictures, you have to be up at 6, at least the players do. All that glamour takes considerable time to apply, so that during the week the village shuts up like a clam by 10 o'clock at night. But in other respects, there's been a big change. With the coming in of the great defense industries, the huge airplane plants, there seems to have come a new feeling of solidity and reality. And the men who are out here doing this tremendous work, many of whom I've been fortunate enough to meet, are wonderfully able people. Hollywood seems to have its shapely feet firmly on the ground. And now, to open our program, ladies and gentlemen, a charming, intelligent, and talented young lady whose feet have always been on the ground and who in a few short years has become one of America's favorites of song, Miss Dinah Shore singing Tangerine.
Tangerine, she is all they claim, with her eyes of night and lips as bright as flame. Tangerine, when she passes by, senorita stay and caballero sigh. And I've seen tangerine raised in every bar across the Argentine. Yes, she has them all on the run, but her heart belongs to just one. Her heart belongs to tangerine. And I've seen close to tangerine raised in every bar across the Argentine. Her heart belongs to tangerine. Love, tangerine. Love.
Thank you, Dinah Shore. I have to forgive you for being my husband's favorite. You're mine, too. You know, I think it's about time someone gave Mr. Brookman something to do on this program. He has a number which he calls the Reveille Rag. It's the story of a very sleepy man, a young draftee, who would like to spend as much of his time sleeping as possible, but the old devil bugle just won't let him. Also, this young man happens to be a fugitive from a dance hall, a jitterbug to you, so that all the music he hears is translated in his sleeping mind into jitterbug tempo. Now listen very carefully to the orchestration. The bassoon is the boy snoring, and since he belongs to the school of snoring that has a whistle at the end, the piccolo takes the whistle. Now, if everyone is sufficiently confused by this time, let's proceed. All right, David. Wonderful, Mr. Brookman. But it doesn't sound Dutch to me.
Oh, but it isn't Dutch.
I was just kidding. But you're Dutch, aren't you?
Yes, I am. My family, most of them, are still in Holland.
Well, I suppose that makes it rather difficult for you, doesn't it?
Well, not any more than for all the other thousands who have relatives in the old country. But Holland is such a beautiful and peaceful country. Its people are so industrious and talented. They've produced such much great art and great music. And they've always been leaders in the arts of peace. Now they're at war. Holland itself is conquered. Many of the colonies are gone. And I keep thinking what terrible waste of life and talent. Not only for the men who have died and are still dying there, but for the women they have left. Their wounds must take a very long time indeed to heal.
That's quite right, David. That's one reason why the loss of men in wars is a desperate twofold tragedy. Not only for the young men who suffer and are killed, cheated of their lives, but for the women who must live on without them. The bitter loneliness of women who must live out their days without love, companionship, and children. That is why a Hitler is a monster. He's a biological sport. He curtails and diverts into channels of destruction the natural creative impulse. Because of him, not only do millions of people die, but millions will not be born. The great reforms and the great inventions, the books and music which should have come from the next generation will never be, because the next generation will never be. Instead of begetting their children, the young men are lying dead by the thousands, burnt up in planes, rotting at the bottom of the sea, crushed and suffocating in overturned tanks. The destruction and appalling waste which those who remain must somehow make up are staggering. And one wonders if even the Germans themselves, as they go hiling and goose-stepping, killing and dying through the world, don't have fleeting moments of doubt. Does no German mother ever ask herself what she has gained when even the censors can no longer keep from her the news that her son is dead? What do German girls think when first one, and then another, and then a third young man fails ever to come home again? No matter how hysterical the young lady's attachment to him, it is not the Führer who will be their life's companion. To think that you have crushed Czechoslovakia must be a cold substitute for a pair of arms around you and a warm mouth on yours. And it is odd that nations of slaves 1,000 miles away are not so satisfactory as one free man by your side. Perhaps you will find you have no need for the Lebensraum he killed and died to get. It would do you no good to go into the conquered countries in search of young men. Their own women would be there looking at you with stony eyes, and neither the men nor the women would understand that you are a member of a superior race. Sometimes you forget just why you are, but you know it is so because Der Führer said it. If you are a young German girl and you look at a map of the Third Reich spread like a cancer over Europe, surely a little cold flame must lick at your heart when you think of the hundreds and thousands of other girls who want men too, who want to live a woman's full life, but who are likely to find when the hireling dies away that the only ones left are the old and the maimed, or those with minds brutalized by the new order or twisted by torture and privation.
Thank you, Ilka Chase. You've put your finger on something vitally important. Every now and then, we must take stock of ourselves. We must stop and think. Why are we in this war? What are we fighting for? We can talk about democracy, about faith and honesty and liberty and freedom and equality, but to most of us, those words are symbols of what we mean. What we're really fighting for is our right to live, our right to have children and homes, our right to work and to laugh and play. What we're really fighting for is our inalienable right to be normal, happy human beings. Are you doing your share toward victory? One of the things you must do is answer your war bond quota call. Invest at least 10% of your total income in war savings bonds and stamps. They are your investment in the future security of America. Remember, we must work, fight, and save. This is your country. Keep it yours. The United States Treasury Department wishes to thank the distinguished artists who gave their talents to this performance. Miss Ilka Chase, the Hollywood Victory Committee for its courtesy in arranging for these appearances, and this station for the use of its facilities. The excerpt on Hitler read by Miss Chase was from our own book, Past Imperfect. The orchestra under the direction of David Brookman. The entire production was under the personal direction of William A. Bacher. This is Paul Douglas speaking.